What do we do with life's burdens? That's what we've been talking about on Sunday nights. We know that there can be a tipping point if we're not careful, if we don't do what God says. It'll get us all out of sorts, get us away from God, get us defeated, depressed, discouraged. And no doubt some of you are struggling even with that tonight. If not, you have, you will, at some point in your life. But I'm glad that we have the formula from the Word of God that tells us what to do. And tonight I want to talk to you about worry, a little different from what we preached on last Sunday night, which was fear. Tonight I want to talk about worry. Did you know that worry is a sin? Yeah. It really is. You say, I just don't believe it. Well, read the Bible, and you'll be convinced that worry does not please God. Worrying about things. And we can be concerned about them momentarily and wonder what we're going to do, but we go to the Lord. It doesn't do any good to worry. What good does worry do us? The only thing that worry does is steal God's peace from us. It pulls the peace that God wants us to have from our lives. And God is not pleased with that. We cannot carry the load of worry. Worrying sometimes is always asking this question, well, what if? What if the stock market falls next week? What if someone lets me down? What if I don't have enough money at the end of the month? Or what if I get cancer? Or what if, what if, what if? And we're always, a lot of times, thinking about what might happen that probably would never happen, and we let it rob us of peace. God wants us to be a people of peace. He does not want us to be a people that is always worrying. Philippians chapter 4, familiar verses 6 through 8. If you'll look there just a moment. Philippians chapter 4, God reminds us that we should not worry. He gives us information of what we should do. And these are two of my favorite verses, three of my favorite verses back to back, where he's talking about the problem of worrying. And he says in verse 4, let's go there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's good information. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't worry about anything. That's exactly what it means. Be careful for nothing. Doesn't mean don't plan the future and some of those things. He's just saying, be careful. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the peace of God, wonderful peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have to recognize tonight that we need stronger arms than our arms. And those arms are the arms of the Lord. Deuteronomy 33:27 says this, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's the arms of God. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. God will thrust out the enemy through his power, through his arms that are everlasting arms. Thank God he'll carry the burden for us. If, there's the big if we trust him to do it, if we believe him to do it, if we release those things to him. Now, that doesn't mean we release our troubles, because we're going to have some troubles. And some of you tonight will say, amen, preacher, I'm right in the middle of some of those things right now. We're going to have some troubles along the way. It's just part of it. This does not guarantee that we won't have any trouble whatsoever, but it is the release of those troubles when we cast those troubles on the Lord and we quit fretting and worrying about our future. Nicholas Ridley in 1554 was sentenced to burn in Oxford, and he was accused of being a heretic. He really wasn't, but he was accused of that. And the reason they accused him of being a heretic was because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached that salvation was only through one person, Jesus Christ. We preach that, don't we? That's what he preached, and they call him a heretic. They sent him to at least 20 months of torture in a horrible prison, and they, before his execution, the very next day, that evening, his brother came to him and asked if he could stay with him, what he could do. He said, no, it's not necessary. I'm not worried about anything. And then he quoted him as saying this. He made these statements. Remember, this is the evening before they were going to kill him the next day and execute him. He said, I mean to go to bed and sleep tonight as quietly as ever I did in my life. Wow. You know why he could do that? He knew the peace of God. He knew to cast all of his cares on the Lord. He knew not to worry. He knew Romans 8:28 was true. He knew his life was being conducted by the Lord. You know, God's peace is always available to us. If you don't have it tonight, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. God's peace is always available. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 say this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. Mature, complete peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, staying on the Lord. And the reason is because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You believe that? Say amen. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God has the power, and we need to lean on his hands. And so God's peace is always available for that. Now, that means we're going to be tempted, like other areas of our life, we're going to be tempted to worry. Some people just, they like to worry because it makes them feel good, I guess. I don't know what it is they think it does. They'd rather worry than turn it over to God. And a lot of people, or we'd call them worry warts. They just like to worry. And all of us are tempted sometimes, probably, to do a little worrying. We need to understand that God has the past, God has the present, and God has our future. Amen? Do you believe tonight God has your future? Say amen. Amen. He really does. God has our future. There's no doubt about it. Why is there no doubt about it? Because the Word of God says so. So we need to lean on stronger arms than ours and believe that. And then we have to understand that God has sufficient supply. You might come to me and ask me for $500,000, and I could loan you 5 or 10, maybe 50. I might borrow a little bit and loan you some more, but we'd have a limit, and that most of all of us said, not God. God is not limited, is he? And when the demands of life overwhelm us to the point that we worry, it means that we're not trusting in the Lord like we should. God has a sufficient supply. Charles Spurgeon, one evening, believe it or not, was home, depressed. Yes, that can happen to great men of God and men of God. And he had been working hard, had a long, hard day's work. And he was very depressed about the results and things that were going on. And about that time, 2 Corinthians, he said, 12:9 came into his mind, flashed through his mind. And that simply says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I love that, don't you? My grace is sufficient for thee. And he got to thinking about that verse, and he laughed out loud, just laughed by himself, just laughed out loud, he said. And he said, I should think it is, Lord, thy grace is sufficient for me. He said, I liken it to like a little fish that is thirsty, and he's afraid that if he drinks of the river, he's going to drink the river dry. But the river says, drink on, little fish. You'll never drink me dry. Amen? And that's the way it is with Almighty God. He said it reminded me of the 7 years of plenty. And maybe a little mouse being afraid it was going to die because it wouldn't have enough to eat. And Joseph said, cheer up, little mouse. My granaries are sufficient for thee. And he is likening that unto the grace of God that was sufficient for him. So the Christian should never bear the burdens of life alone and should never bear the burden of worry. It doesn't do us any good to worry. God is sufficient to meet every need that you have tonight, whatever it may be. Think of any need you have, and God is sufficient to carry that out and meet that need and to carry out our burdens. Well, there's thirdly a surprise source of strength. a surprise source of strength. And he tells us about that in Philippians chapter 4. In verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." That is one of the sources of strength that God gives us. He gives three or four of those, about four of them actually, in these verses together. And you can pick them out as we go through them. But he said in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord." Find your rejoicing grounds in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we do sometimes? We worry about things and we think if we worry enough about it today, it'll help out tomorrow. But worrying about things today does not help out tomorrow. It never does help out tomorrow. And yet we like to do it. If I worry enough today, maybe everything will turn out all right tomorrow. Well, that's not God's way. Corrie Ten Boom, most of you remember her. She went to Ravensbrück in a concentration camp and suffered terribly there in that concentration camp. And she made this statement. It's a quote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." And I'll say that again. You may be, some of you jotting it down. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Isn't that true? If we fool around worrying all the time, every day, then we're going to empty that strength out of the day and the morrow also. Well, he says, praise the Lord. And if we have praise, it has the opposite effect of worrying. If we praise the Lord, praise and worry just don't go together. They're like water and oil. They just don't mix together. And so we need to praise, and it has the opposite effect. Why? Because we refocus on God. That's where our focus ought to be. It renews our spirit, and that's what we need, is a renewal of our spirit, and it provides courage for us to go on if we'll turn it over to the Lord. Rejoice. How often are we to rejoice? Well, he says in the Bible, rejoice always. Always rejoice. Doesn't matter what's happening to us. We ought to always rejoice. Not just when you feel like it. Oh, look, if we inherit some money, we feel like rejoicing. And if we, if something goes good and we get a raise, we feel like rejoicing and everything. That's not what God says. Not just the good things, but the bad things, the things we don't understand. Rejoice in the Lord, not in your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always find your rejoicing grounds in the Lord, regardless of your circumstances. And I can tell you, to rejoice, listen now, to rejoice is a choice. Did you remember that? Jot it down in your Bible somewhere. To rejoice is a choice. And some of you that go around defeated, depressed, and down, look like maybe you've been to a pickle convention somewhere or something, what you need to do is remember that we need to rejoice in the Lord. And rejoice always, and rejoice is a choice. Just like we choose to deal with any other sin in our life, we have to choose to rejoice. And God is always good. Amen. God is always present. No doubt about it. That's what the Bible teaches. And God is always faithful. He's always there. He's always good. He's always faithful. And God is greater than anything you and I face tonight. He really is, whatever it may be. Now, we can always rejoice in Him. Philippians 4 in verse 5. In verse 6, where he's talking about that. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's there. We know it. So be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. We are to rejoice in the Lord. A husband's wife died rather suddenly, and they had a little boy at home, a little young boy. And after they buried the mother, they went home, and the little boy was in bed with his father. He was very restless, very confused, and obviously mama wasn't there. And he said to his daddy, "Daddy, when's mama coming home?" Can you imagine a little boy doing that on that first time when mama's not there? And he said, "Daddy, where is mommy? Where is mommy?" So he's asking daddy these questions, and then he finally settled down a little bit and reached out, as it were, into the darkness. And he asked his daddy this question. "Daddy, is your face toward me? Daddy, is your face toward me?" And his daddy said, "Yes, son, my face is toward you." And the little boy fell asleep when he realized that. I want to tell you, God's face is always toward us. It is always, always toward us. How do we know? Well, let's go to Romans 8:35 in these few verses. And you're so familiar with these, but it's good to repeat it again. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who's going to do that? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Some of us are not persuaded, maybe. But he said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that covers everything, don't you? That ought to bring us comfort tonight. Nothing anywhere is going to separate us from the wonderful love of God. So, rest. So, quit worrying. Don't worry. God's at hand. God is in charge. And then anxiety ends where faith begins. Anxiety ends where faith begins. A lot of people are anxious and worrying. But there's a way we can get rid of that. There's a resource for us so that we can get rid of that worry. You know what it is? I think we call it prayer. We can release our burden to the Lord through prayer. And I think that's what God is saying. Look again in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. What do you do with it? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Turn it over to God. How? Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Take it to God in prayer. And when you pray in faith, you can do two things. Number one, you can request. And number two, you can thank God at the very same time for answered prayer. You don't have to wait. You can thank Him then by faith. And that has to be His will, and we understand that. George Mueller said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Let me say that one again. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiousness or anxiety. Faith and anxiety are not compatible. Now, why do we know tomorrow's bright? It's going to be a good day tomorrow. You say, you don't know that. It's going to be a good day according to the Bible if you're saved. If you're not saved, it may be the worst day of all of eternity. But if you're saved, it'll be a good day. Faith makes great optimists out of us. It makes great optimists out of us. We're very optimistic. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He can do abundantly more than we can ask or think. You believe that about God tonight? Say amen. He can. And that almost seems like a contradiction. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's not. And so we can go to him in prayer. Adoniram Judson believed that. He believed in God's ability. Most of you know that he was a great, great missionary. He and his wife went to Burma. Burma is modern Myanmar. We have a missionary in Myanmar. In that area. And they went there to preach the gospel. And Adoniram Judson and his wife were there 6 years and they didn't have one convert. Now, brother, you talk about missionaries getting discouraged. And sometimes they come back home, but what they ought to do is just stick it out, stay it out. If God's led you, stay there, stick with it. And so he stayed. And they mistook him for an Englishman and arrested him and put him in prison. It was inhumane. They suspended him from his ankles on something like bamboo poles and then let his head drop down and his shoulders and head would hit the dirt under him and all of that for long hours at a time. One time another prisoner was sort of making fun of him and asked him this question, and he said to him, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen. Here you are, in other words, you're in prison. You hadn't had anybody saved 6 years. They put you in prison. What about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? I like what Judson said to him. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. That's something that's been quoted many, many years, and he's the one that said it, and it got out into the history of the church. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. What great prospect that is. His goal when he left Burma, he and his wife, was to go establish at least one church in hope that they would run 100 in that church. That was one of the goals that they have, and he wanted to translate the Bible into the Burmese language. Well, when he left, he had completed the Bible in that language. And not he didn't start one church with 100 people. There were over 100 churches started because he believed God and kept on believing God. And he believed that the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. And we have to believe that. It's brighter than our fears. It's brighter than our worries. It's brighter. We worry about what's going to happen to them on the boat. What's going to happen to them on the trip? Or will they make it on this? Or will they? What are they going to do when they go on a sports activity? And are they going to make it back home? And sometimes we just worry and worry about everything. And those are just some very common examples. There are many, many, many others like that. But we have those worries. We need to release our minds from worry. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? Here it is. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that ought to release our minds from worrying about things. And then we have to remember that if we carry the burden, it's going to get bigger than we think it is. You know, sometimes out in the lobby, somebody will come through with a little baby, a little new baby, and I like to hold babies and give them back to the parents after I hold them a while so they can take them home. I like to hold little babies. And I've noticed once or twice I'd hold a little baby a while and hold it out there in the lobby, and then I'd give it back to the mother or the daddy, and all of a sudden my arm's hurting down through here. You older people understand what I'm saying. Sharp pains run up through there. And the longer I hold them, the more the pain is. Well, that's the way worry is. The longer you worry, the more pain it's going to be. And the longer you worry about things, it's going to get heavier and heavier. And the more you carry it, and the more you try to carry it, it just gets heavier and heavier. You cannot do it. You cannot worry. And God wants to unburden us of that worry, and we cannot afford to try to carry it around because it'll just get heavier and heavier as we try to carry it around. So what are we to do? Well, this is what he's told us in these verses. One, rejoice in him. Two, remember that he is present with us. That Jesus, God, in all of his power is there. And then request the help of Almighty God, who is not limited. And then rest in his truth. That's the word of God. And there are the promises. Look at verse 7. He says, if you'll be careful, don't worry about things. Pray about things. And give thanks for what you have. That's important. And then let your request be made known to God. Doesn't bother God for us to request. And here's the result of it. Look what he promises. And the peace of God. Now, if we're saved, we already have peace with God through Jesus Christ. These are two different things. Peace with God's when you get saved. Peace of God is what you need every day of your life. The peace of God in your life. And here's the way you get that. Don't worry about things. Pray. Be thankful for what you have. Use what you have for the glory of God. Some people say, well, if I could get this, and I'd do something for God. No, take what you have right now and start doing something for God with what you have, and then God might give you that to do more for the glory of God. We have to believe what he says in his word. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, people cannot explain it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise that God gives us. So what do we need to do tonight? Rest in the everlasting arms of Jesus. Rest on the promises of this book of books that God gives us. You don't need to walk out of this building tonight worrying about anything. And if we'll believe God and trust God, depend on God, lean on God, and do what he says, pray, take it to him in prayer, then we can have the promise that we'll have the peace of God in our lives, a sound mind and a sound heart before the Lord if we'll do that. And so when we trust God, that is, when we're saved and we trust God, that's a worry-free situation that we have and security that God gives us. Now, if you're not saved, you might be worrying about some things, like, where am I going to spend eternity? And you ought to worry about that, because there's only two places, and you know what I'm going to say. It's heaven or hell. If you hadn't been saved, you ought to be worried about it. You ought to get saved before it's eternally too late and come to Christ. So you don't have to worry about eternity. Some people are worried about eternity. I talk to them. You talk to them. But they can only settle it by trusting Christ as their Savior. That's how I settled mine. How about you? I'm not worried about the future. I'm not worried about heaven. I know I'm going to heaven on the authority of the Word of God. And it's all through Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and I want to challenge you tonight, if you have an ounce of worry, to bring it to the Lord. You can do it right where you are, but it's good to come to an old-fashioned altar once in a while. If you can't kneel down at these steps, you can sit on the front pew, kneel down there, whatever it is. See, worry doesn't help. We need to trust God and have the joy of the Lord, peace of mind, and God will bless us for that. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved, they'll be saved tonight. There might be somebody here, God, you know. You know their hearts. They may be concerned about their eternal life. Help them to settle that. Then, Lord, those of us that are your children, help us to understand the Word of God to such a degree that we would mature and be believers in your Word and not worry about the future, not worry about anything. Oh, we need to be responsible. We need to do what's right. But, oh God, help us not to worry about yesterday's failures, today's problems, or the future. May we turn them all over to you, our family, our loved ones, our children, our problems, our backsets, our physical needs, whatever they may be, to turn them over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. While we